is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, Jill Serkin.
Who only just got here by the skin of her teeth due to everybody closing every road.
Ashford's been a nightmare. It's been a nightmare. If you come from Canterbury or Whitstable today, don't bother. It's almost every road is closed. It's ridiculous.
I am literally going to cut out the sat-nav from my little Mercedes and pop in you instead. See if I can squeeze you into the little square where it goes. As my personal TomTom.
Your personal Google. Yes. I've got a new phone and it's a nuisance because it keeps switching off and I have to look at it to make it switch on again, which is ridiculous. Yeah.
And that's why I couldn't get into it earlier when I wanted to, you know, tweet some things for you, but I wouldn't
when
let
you
me
try,
in.
When you tried to frape my phone.
But whatever happened to the thumbprint? That was good.
I loved the thumbprint. Yeah. I've got the thumbprint on my old phone now, but you know what they like.
They like to change.
They don't like you liking things, mate, and they have to change it.
Exactly. They keep you on the toes. Yeah, but thank you for getting me here. And do you know what? I listened to another radio station.
You didn't.
Radio Kent. To see what was happening on the roads.
I don't know.
No mention.
They don't know.
No. They were talking about everywhere else, but nothing. So if you are trying to get to Ashford from around the Chalock area, both the roads this morning were completely
closed.
I was moseying back to Faversham and you were amazing. You were like, you were my own little skipper. Can I ask you something very important?
Depends what it is, really.
Well, who might our sponsor be?
Ah, yeah, I'm glad you asked.
Yeah, don't have to say it in pirate fashion. Glad you asked.
Gym lad,
that.
Well, in fact, they are. No.
Little hook.
Flexible training solutions for the glass and glazing industry and the wider construction sector. Fitfortrade.co.uk for all your occupational compliance and peace of mind. Fitfortrade are a training company that specialise in fenestration, i.e. doors and windows, but they also provide qualifications in other construction sectors, and they do both online and offline training.
Very interesting. So that would be, you know, not just for normal Joe Bloggs houses, it would be big construction stuff, I guess.
No, both.
Okay, because I would like some new windows.
Well, they don't do windows, they do the training.
They do the training for, but they would know someone.
Oh, yes, they certainly would. And Joanne Taylor, who's the chief executive of Fitfortrade, is a windows specialist.
What did you call her? A fenestration?
Fenestration, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good word.
It is, isn't it?
It comes, I think, from La Fenêtre.
La Fenêtre, the French.
Yeah,
for window.
Monsage dans l'art.
Yeah, they do ports too.
I wonder if our guests knew that we were fluent in French.
Well, don't say a word, Flirty, otherwise we'll get her cod Dutch any minute now. Yeah.
Flirty, we are still practicing your name because the trouble is I went to the school at Paul Andrews School of saying Dutch names. Yeah. And so I just say, please remind me how we say Flergy's name. And he says Flergy, and I'm sure you say it in a much better way, more Dutch.
Flergy, but I love Flergy.
Yeah. But Flergy, you see. Yeah. But you see, it's like Chinese whispers.
I'm fluent in a number of languages as long as they involve Cockney. I mean, it's just so one of those things.
Sure, we can make a Cockney rhyming slang.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Flergy, I have in your honour, because Flergy is a regular on the show, I have in your honour got some Stroopwafel.
I can see that. Yeah. It's amazing.
And I bought my own. I've got some in the little bag over there, but I popped them away.
I
got my own gluten-free ones.
Yeah.
You can get gluten-free ones.
Because she is gluten intolerant as well as, I mean, she doesn't like talking about this, but she also has a thyroid problem.
Yeah. I only mention it on...
She never mentions it more than once or twice every few minutes.
Yeah, every couple of minutes.
Yeah.
But these are not going to be up to your standards, because these are just from a very well-known delivery company. I didn't have time to hop across.
Dalmans, I think.
Yeah, but they won't be as fresh as you get in a cafe, would they?
No.
You know, in the cafe, they're really unctuous, aren't they?
Sometimes they make them right in front of you. And they have these really wagon wheel ones in the column with the syrup kind of warm.
And the point of these...
She's doing porn now, isn't she? Yeah, food porn.
The point of the...
I didn't know it existed.
Flergy would tell us more, but the point of the Stroopwafel... How do you say it? Stroopwafel.
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 Oh, don't get her going. Please do not get her doing accents. Yeah.
Stroopwafel.
So the point of the Stroopwafel is that you may disagree, but when I was there, I popped it on the top of my steaming hot coffee.
Yeah.
And then all the caramel in the middle. It's all gooey and melts. It's just beautiful. And then you sip your little coffee and then you have the...
Right,
they're all bravo.
Right, let's move on. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm on a diet at the moment. She's doing this deliberately. Yeah. She's doing this absolutely deliberately.
And I'm interested to hear if there's a difference between the gluten-free one and the...
I will rummage in the
yeah, the gluten-free ones taste like cardboard.
They're not that bad, but they're a little bit drier, I would say. Mm. A bit drier. A bit more bird bready.
Anyway... Should we do a radio show now?
Well, we could, but we've also got Bronwyn Richard.
We have, and that's what I wanted to talk about.
We've got
some lovely guests today, and we're going to be talking to Bronwyn and...
Of This Way Up. See what I did there?
I see what you did there. Nobody else did, because we're on the radio, but
Bronwyn
we saw
liked
we did it.
Yeah, she gave me a thumbs up.
Yeah.
She hails from a farm in Romney Marsh.
On the Marsh, yeah, which is where we started with the radio show, yeah, down on the Marsh. Yeah, right, absolutely. There. So we're going to talk to Bronwyn, and we're going to talk to Flirty later on in the show. But we want to hear from you, all the businesses out there in the southeast of England, and you can get in touch with us in all the usual ways. You could call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. You could email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me and to use the hashtag BBunker, please. And we're ready for your gifts now. I saw Athelbray already started.
Oh, yeah.
When you put your little video up of us elbow bumping in solidarity with the coronavirus.
But what we should have done, I mean, because actually we are of the same era, aren't we, Paul Andrews, you and I?
You're trying to say you're of the same age as me.
I'm slightly younger, of course, but quite a bit younger, Bronwyn, you know.
but at our age, that makes no difference.
We grew up doing the bump.
Well, I'm not sure we grew up, but yeah, we did do the bump.
We have a lot in common, Bronwyn. We both left school at sort of 12 or something.
Around about lunchtime.
I had a very misspent youth, as did Paul Andrews. But, you know, the bump, we're quite good at. You'll see it on the video.
But they don't know what you're talking about, though, do they?
No, they don't know about the bump.
Next you're going to be going with the hustle, and they'll go, oh, I don't know what that is either.
They think that's a card trick or something.
Yeah.
But, of course, the last time that Florgie was on here, she was with a different company.
She had a different job. Yeah. She's got a new job now, and we're, that's why we've invited her. We want to find out all about it.
We
want to know what she's up to.
She needs to come on the Scoff and Quaff, the Superior Show, of course.
Possibly.
Produced in Kent.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yes, please. But,
all about food.
Yeah, but we'll do the proper one first.
You might find that Paul and I are a little bit buzzy today, a bit hard to handle, because we've just had a whole hour on the Superior Show, Scoff and
Quaff.
Drinking coffee. Fresh. Yeah. Can you smell it in the studio a little bit?
Yes.
Along with the Stroopwafel.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, should we
crack on?
We're halfway through the show already. We haven't even started yet. So do you want to crack on with some...
Do you want me to read something?
Yeah, read something. You can read a tweet or an email. I don't mind.
I can hardly focus after all that coffee.
Mm. You can put your glasses on.
We had a little Ethiopian one, didn't we? Coffee.
Oh, coffee, yeah.
Oh, I love Ethiopian coffee.
Oh, I do. Mm. I once went to an Ethiopian restaurant in the King's Road.
This is not going anywhere.
In the 1980s.
Wake me up when we're ready to start the show.
It's an extension of Scoff and Quaff.
Exactly. Yeah.
There was an Ethiopian restaurant that I went to in the King's Road. It's when I used to be a rep for Sherry. I had a great time. I'm so old, you could drive down the King's Road, park in the King's Road, trot into a wine bar, sample the sherry with these guys, show them how to have it on ice, all that, get back in your car and drive over a roundabout.
I regret asking her to read an email.
Round the Hyde Park corner, no problem. Join us, listeners, to Business Bunker listeners, join us at the Kenwood Place for our boot fairs through 2020. And they say they'll be holding boot fairs on the very first Sunday of every month throughout 2020. They will all be held between 11 and 3, and our Sage and Thyme Cafe will be open throughout for a delicious light lunch. And they say we'll hold our fairs indoors and outdoors, depending on the weather. And there is a phone number, so if you poise your pen, I'm going to read it out for you, listener. And they say if you'd like to have a stall at one of the fairs, please give us a ring on, ready, 01622 814 187. There is an email. You can email reception at Kenwood, that's KENWARD, trust.org.uk. And the next date will be April the 5th, which is Thursday, I believe, is it?
It is, yeah.
And after that, it's May the 3rd, June the 7th. So do get in touch with them. As I said, the email is reception at kenwardtrust.org.uk. And the phone number 01 622 814 187 for those boot fairs. I mean, a Produced in Kent stall would go down well there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lovely place. It's you'd like it as well, Bronwyn. It's a fantastic place. Kenwood are a charity that look after people with drink, drug addictions and homelessness. It's a residential charity. It's a gorgeous Georgian house with fantastic grounds. We got alpacas and llamas and all kinds and children's playgrounds. But the nice thing about it is it's just a very calm, mellow, enjoyable environment. It's in the country, overlooking the Lewes Valley. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. On a spring Sunday, you won't find it anywhere better. There's woodland walks and all kinds of stuff there. There's like 16 acres of ground. It's lovely.
Sounds
fantastic.
Gorgeous.
And then you can buy some stuff off the boot fair as well, which is brilliant. I've had a tweet. Hey, Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin on the Business Bunker. Can we have a shout-out, please? The next Grapevine Property Network meeting is at the Marine Hotel Whitstable. It's too far for you, Jules.
Yes, waddle down.
On the 26th of March. And the guest speaker is from ZC Social Media.
Fabulous.
If you want to find out about it, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/grapevine, you can find out all about it, and there's a link to book your place on it. So if you're involved in property, interior design, furniture, anything to do with houses, basically, buying, selling or developing or doing up or furnishing, get along. It's a networking meeting that happens once a month, and the next one's on the 26th of March.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Within jogging distance of my house there.
It certainly is. Next door, in fact.
Yeah. The Edenbridge Community Car Wash, which is is a not-for-profit social enterprise working for the community of Edenbridge, helping the unemployed and disadvantaged people into work. And this, they say, has been a tremendous success, helping young people regain their self-belief and motivation to work. And they say that, sadly, they've got to vacate the site they were using to deliver the programme. So if anybody knows of a suitable site in the Edenbridge area, please get in touch with Gillian Humble. And you can find her by going to www.biz.uk.com or Gillian Humble at biz.uk.com. A lot going on in that email, isn't
there?
Yeah. Lots of bizzes and dots.
I feel for Gillian enormously. She's worked so hard at this over a number of years. It must be over 10 years since she started this. Gillian worked as an employment consultant in the public sector, helping people write their CVs and things like that. She left to start her own business in terms of helping people into work. Well, I say business, it's a not-for-profit social enterprise. And she soon realised that what people needed, the client base that she was working for, was work experience, so that they could experience getting up and getting to work at 9 o'clock in the morning and, you know, and
stability and
learning,
routine.
Yeah, learning the discipline of being at work. So she started this car wash, and the young people absolutely adored doing it. You know, it's a bit Rolls Royce there, and they have the music on and all the rest of it. No, seriously. But they would queue up to come and work there, and they got paid. They earned money from the cars they washed, and they've been doing it for years, and she's fed people back into work by giving them this start. Mm. But the people that own the site have now got planning permission to put houses on it.
Oh, Kelsey,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, so they've been kicked off, and they need somewhere to carry on doing the work they're doing, so they're just looking for a site. I think they probably need a site that's got access to water, probably, in some way. But they need a site, and they need a site in the Edenbridge area to keep this thing going.
So for those of you who don't know the Edenbridge area, it's around Tunbridge Wells,
East? Sevenoaks. Yeah.
Sevenoaks,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it straddles the Sussex-Surrey-Kent border, just outside Sevenoaks and Westerham and that kind of area.
Yeah, so if you do know, please contact Gillian Humble. And you can contact us on channelradio.co.uk or bizradio.co.uk.
Yeah, drop me an email, hello@bizradio.co.uk, and tell me if you know of anywhere or if you actually have a piece of ground that they could use to do this. They don't need a lot of space. And they're well-behaved and nice and tidy, and you get your car washed for free, I'm sure.
Exactly. Mm. It's routine, as we said, but also it gives them something on their CV to say,
exactly.
Show that they get up in the morning. And
yeah, you know, that's exactly why it works. Anyway.
I've got another one here. Business owners, managers, join the Business Bunker radio show with a hashtag. So if you're tweeting us today, do use the hashtag BBunker. The jobsinkent.com and the FSB Kent, Federation of Small Business, on the Skills 3030 Schools programme to inspire the next generation of talent about the world of work. And the details in the next free-to-attend events But the next one is going to be at the 100 Who Academy. I sound like an owl, don't I? 100 Who Academy on the 3rd of June. Now,
it's
Bronwyn.
It's like Hogwarts.
Yeah. But Bronwyn Rich, who's our guest, along with Hoji, said that you just went to one, didn't you?
I went to one last year.
Yeah. And you found it.
Good. Yeah, it was really nice meeting the young people and listening to their aspirations.
So you're ready for the next one?
Absolutely.
3rd of June at the 100 Who Academy.
By the time we've been through, there's two more on there at Maskells and Wilmington. By the time we've done that, we will have done 2,000 students through the programme.
Wow, amazing. Yep. So for your diary, the next one is the 26th of June, which is at Wilmington Academy, and the 8th of July at Maskells School, Paddock Wood. And to find out more, go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/30-30.
I had a tweet from Terry Botfield. He's got one of my favourite all-time Twitter handles, TD Botty, on the Twitter. Business Bunker, have a great show today. Can we have a shout-out, please? The Marsh Network launching its app at Marsh Coffee Network in 10 a.m. tomorrow in New Romney. Join our growing network. I believe it's at the Sinkport Arms. He doesn't say so in the tweet, but they normally have the Sinkport Arms in Romney High Street is where they have it, 10 a.m. tomorrow. Get along there. They've got a new app as well. Terry launched the Marsh Networking Group a couple of years ago. I went to the launch event, and I've been to a couple since. He's expanded into Rye as well, so he does networking, coffee, breakfast, mid-morning coffee, afternoon tea, and evening meals, I think. Or maybe I'm exaggerating a bit there. And he does them in New Romney, Dimchurch, and in Rye.
He's got a wry sense of humour as well.
Oh, very good. I see what you did there. Bell's accountant, say hello.
Hello.
And Tracy Ferguson, Tassie64 on the Twitter. Hello, Paul, Jules and guests. I'm delivering a mentoring session today as part of the Women Into Work. And then I'm going to drop in and see the lovely Chris Pollard at the Romney Resource Centre. Also down, and we've got a very Marsh-related programme today.
Yeah.
On the way home, really excited for my first use of my plucky value cards. Have a fabulous show, and I'll catch up with the replay later.
She always does. She always tunes in.
Tracy's brilliant. She's always got lots of useful things to say. She always interacts with our guests, and she's always got some interesting stuff to talk about.
And her plucky cards, they're amazing because they're so visual. So have you heard of them, Bronwyn and Georgia? They're great. So follow her on Twitter. And
Tazzy64, T-A-Z-I-64. Yeah. Give her a follow. The plucky cards help people. Tracy does a lot of work, again, with helping people into work and stuff like that. There's a new South East regional chair for the Federation of Small Business. They've announced that their new South East regional chair is Mr. David Millam, and he'll serve for the next 3 years. David was previously the area leader for Kent and Medway, and he brings a wealth of experience from his work as a business consultant specialising in financial security. David takes on the role following a successful tenure by outgoing chair Brian Woods. David will lead a regional team of volunteers in delivering an ambitious policy and activity plan across Surrey, Sussex and Kent. This plan includes engaging with grassroots members, supporting national FSB campaigns on a local level, such as Making Business Better, and offering networking, exhibition and training events for small businesses and the self-employed. David said, I want us to lead on topics such as champion women in business, employing armed forces personnel and supporting young entrepreneurs. I'll encourage sharing best practice across the counties, such as the excellent Kent Skills 30 project that brings students face-to-face with business. I am also focused on raising awareness of mental health issues in the workplace. You can find out more by going to www.fsb.org.uk/join-us.
There's a variety of offices available for rent within the Green Acres building. If you're looking for affordable workspace, why not consider having a viewing with us, they say. And the office space is located within 15 minutes of Maidstone and Kings Hill, and it has easy access to the M20. And they're also just over a mile away from Wateringbury Station. I love that name. With roots to
Jules
London.
Can't pronounce the name of any place in Kent.
Wateringbury.
But Wateringbury was a near enough approximation.
Yeah. What would you call it? Wateringbury.
No, I was going to wind around. We had a big one. Do you know Trosley? which is spelt Trotters Cliff, to be fair.
It is.
Yeah, and Jules always called it Trotters Cliff, and I said it was Trosley, and she just would not believe me. And I can understand that, because it makes no sense.
Well, it's Elizabethan, isn't it?
Whatsoever.
I mean, it's just wrong.
It is actually spelt Trotters Cliff, but pronounced Trosley.
Who would know that?
It's just mad, isn't it?
Just imagine if you're a foreigner trying to do it like me.
Yeah, because she's from Essex, you know.
They say we have a function room and a cafe bistro on site, perfect for conferences. And there's a discounted price, which is available for those who rent the office space. To find out more, go to www.kenward, that's K-E-N-W-A-R-D, trust.org.uk, and then /news Greenacres office space. Nice one.
Shall we play some cheesy tunage?
Why don't we?
Yeah.
Anything Dutch?
No. I picked this for Bronwyn, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. It's really tenuous. Even once I've played it, you'll go...
Something about Romney Marsh.
I don't understand. Yeah, because the whole idea behind this is massively tenuous. But Jules is on a roll. Jules has never failed to get a tune, and I've picked some pretty obscure tunes in my past.
Very odd one.
This one you should get, because it's reasonably contemporary. Mm. Well, it was produced while you were alive, let's put it that way, so it's within the last 70 years. Yeah.
Supposing I don't know it. I'm pretty sure.
I bet you do.
Something about a drum.
Come on.
Oh, it's Terence Trent D'Arby and something... Sycamore tree, something.
Wishing Well.
Oh, Wishing Well.
Well.
Oh.
Being.
Oh, well
see
being.
What I did there?
Definitely Terence Trent D'Arby. Yeah.
flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
As Jill said, Terence Trent D'Arby. Wish him well.
Yeah, I saw him live once at the Hammersmith Odeon.
Hmm.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Very tenuous link, I know.
Yeah, but I see what you did there.
Did you?
Yeah.
Cool. Were you impressed?
Yeah, I was.
Cool.
You've obviously been up all night thinking of that.
I was, yeah.
Well, you haven't slept for 8 weeks. So.
I haven't slept for a long, long time.
You're you look right. A bit pale, actually.
Yeah, well, I've had a bit of a busy time at the moment. Lots of family illness and my poor old mum, bless her, she's got an SOS bracelet and she keeps setting it off in the middle of the night, so I have to go over there and she's very unwell at the moment, so obviously she gets a bit distressed. So.
Well, to those
she's getting better now.
I just think, you know, if we keep a lookout for the elderly, if you've got neighbours living near you, just go and give them a cup of tea or knock on the door and see how they are.
Yeah, exactly. I had a tweet from the lovely folks at Athol Bray.
Hello.
And they say, Vanilla Web, Business Bunker, Jill Serkin, can we have a shout out for our executive development courses launching this spring, from contract law to directors and shareholder responsibilities, as well as team coaching. So important. Every level of business has development opportunity. And they say, tar ever so. And they give me a nice little gif of a stick person having a dance, which is rather nice. They were a bit amazed by our bump earlier as well.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, if Harry hadn't have stopped when he did, we could have got better.
Yeah, well, the thing was, what they were saying is that everybody else is foot bumping.
Oh.
But I said I couldn't get my leg up that high.
Oh, I can, because I used to be a yoga teacher, as you know.
Oh, here we go.
I can still do that.
Even with your metal knee?
Yeah, my metal knee is a bit stiffer, but I can definitely cock my right leg.
Can you?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, dear.
Moving swiftly on.
Yeah.
I'm making, I guess, plug-in things for
me. Yeah.
Which end is it, Bronwyn? I've lost track. I think we could do, if we had a bit of the bump music. It was Joe Tex and the Disco, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Joe
Tex. Did a bump. Yeah.
We could get a little crowd round us.
Yeah, I think.
Who are we speaking to next? Because I'm
getting ready for video. We're going to speak to Bronwyn in about 2 minutes. I said I'd give her a bit of warning before we kind of leapt on her.
You're giving her a two-minute warning.
I've given her a two-minute warning. So while she's thinking about it, I'm going to read this tweet.
And what I'd like to say, if I may interrupt you, Paul, that I will be videoing live our guests. So if you go to @JulesSerkin, not only can you listen to our dulcet tones, you'll be able to see our lovely guests. And you can home in on the Stroopwafel.
She did that just so she could say Stroopwafel again, didn't she?
Stroopwafel.
Yeah. She's so annoying.
I know. I couldn't get any Romney Marsh biscuits, but I did get some Dutch biscuits.
We should make Kent Stroopwafels.
Yeah.
What are they?
Kent.
Oh, yeah. Stroopwafels. Yeah. It's the way she says it, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
We could have had alpaca biscuits.
Well, that wouldn't be nice, would it? That would upset the vegetarians, wouldn't it?
I
see what you mean. Yeah.
I was reading about Mongolians not having the enzyme to digest milk. And, of course, they drink a lot of camel milk, don't they?
Yeah, yak butter.
Yeah. yak butter. But I need to read, actually. I was reading about it, but I didn't get time to read the actual proper thing, if you know what I mean. Anyway, what were you saying? I think I interrupted you.
You probably did, but then that's nothing new, is it?
Have you forgotten now?
No, I was just going to read this tweet before we talk to Bronwyn.
Do.
But we've wasted so much time. It's from the Kent Community Foundation, and they say, "Hello, Paul. We have so much to talk about, but it would be great to get another mention out for our funding afternoon for charities, community groups and voluntary organisations taking place on the 17th of March in Northfleet. The tickets can be booked via Eventbrite. So if you go onto Eventbrite and search for Kent Community Foundation, you will find it. And go along on the 17th of March, which I do believe is St Patrick's Day.
Okay. Mm. So go along in green.
Yeah. Yeah, take a shalavy and a pint of Guinness.
Yeah, and a little clover behind your ear.
Something like that, yeah. Cool. Do you know what? I think we're going to talk to Bronwyn. What do you reckon?
I think we should.
Do you think we should?
Yeah.
Okay, I think we should. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Bronwyn onto the show for the very first time. Bronwyn is from This Way Up Wellbeing, hence the cheesy tunage about wishing wells and nonsense. It's no good doing that because no one can see you unless you film it. Yeah, This Way Up. Jules has got a flask which she's holding upside down. She thinks she's being funny.
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
Anyway, enough of that. Bronwyn, welcome to the show. It's an absolute pleasure to see you. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you kick off by telling us about you and about This Way Up?
Hey, thanks, Paul, and thanks for having me on the show.
That's all right.
And Jules.
Cute. Yeah, sure. Don't thank her.
Sure. I just want to ask one thing. Bronwyn.
So you can't get a word in edgeways. Yeah.
Have you got some Welsh? Is it a Welsh name, Bronwyn?
Yes, so I'm half Welsh.
There you are.
Are you?
Yeah.
You shouldn't have told her that, because now all we're going to get is sheep jokes for the rest of the afternoon. Boil. Yeah.
But
Yeah.
Haven't we just had St David's Day, or is that coming up?
Yeah, no, 1st of March.
Did you have Welsh cakes?
No, I didn't. No.
Bronwyn. Well, there's still time.
Yeah.
You're probably too busy tossing the pancakes. You know, it's one day after the next,
recovering.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Shut up. Let a woman get a word in. Well, I want to find out about this woman.
I had to ask about her ancestry.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Purely in the interest of coming out with some awful Welsh accent and loads of jokes about Welsh this and that. Sorry about that. I can only apologise for her, Bronwyn. I'm really sorry. So you were about to tell us about This Way Up Wellbeing.
I can't remember your questions.
Yeah, I know, nor can I. Yeah, this show is very much like that. You ask a question and then a certain person starts talking about thyroid. Or Welsh cakes or doing impersonations of Africans or something, and then we lose the plot. I'll start again, shall I? Welcome to the show, Bronwyn. It's lovely to see you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about you and, more importantly, about This Way Up Wellbeing?
Okay, so I'm Bronwyn, as you know, half Welsh, and This Way Up Wellbeing is a social enterprise that I started in around 2012.
Right.
And I started it with two other ladies who are still, you know, great supporters, but they're no longer on board. And the reason that we started it was really in response to the needs of the kind of work that we were doing in terms of community work, reaching out with children and families where there was mental health sort of concerns, and it wasn't always mental illness as such, but just maybe people needed some bit more happiness in their life, they needed a bit more improvement, and at the time there was a lot of other things going on with staff and services within children's centre services and things like that, a lot of staff absence and illness and things to do with poor mental health. So what we decided to do was move forward with enabling people to access some community support through mental health and wellbeing workshops. All so right. We went for some funding.
Can I just ask, was this part of your, before you started the enterprise, was this part of the work you were doing in another context?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we started it off by supporting a group of volunteers, but then sadly that project came to an end, and people were saying, look, this needs to continue. We can't just not do it anymore. So the only option left was to set up an enterprise.
To do it yourself,
ourselves. So that's kind of what we did. And it was really exciting times. But alongside that, we started to develop the professional training, which was the mental health first aid training.
Right.
That was obviously a while ago. And then over the years, we've developed it into now suicide first aid training. So I did everyone professional training to all different types of sectors. So it could be local authority, NHS, but we work with police, foster carers, right. schools. It's a wide-ranging sort of cross-sector that we, you know...
Okay, and you're providing training courses, did you say?
Training courses, yeah.
Okay, so what kind of things... So you're talking to professionals in those yeah. sectors, yeah. And what are the kind of things that you're introducing them to?
So what we're introducing them to is really enabling staff to have the skills and knowledge to kind of recognise the emerging signs of mental health.
Right, okay.
So, you know, where poor mental health is starting to become yep. an issue for people.
Yep.
Such as...
Okay, so it could be, for instance, that somebody in the workplace may suddenly start to behave slightly differently. They may sort of not be coming in on time, as maybe having some sick days where they've not had that before. They may become even tearful in the workplace.
Yeah,
they may
yeah.
be not contributing in the way that they used to in terms
of... Or aggressive. Sometimes with depression, people can be angry.
I mean, yeah, there could... maybe an element of anger in frustration so you might see some changes in their yeah from their usual sort of behaviors and often what happens is that when people get into if they don't get the support they can get into crisis and they may feel that they can't talk to anybody in that environment because they're worried about losing their job or the yeah. impact.
It's really interesting. Having been there myself many years ago as a business owner, when you see someone that's clearly struggling, but you know, as a non-professional health worker, you go, "I have no idea what to do about this." And the problem is, you don't want to get involved in case you do the wrong thing, yeah, because you don't have any expertise in what you're looking at here, you know, and you end up just being very superfluous and saying, "Are you all right?" And that's about the sum total of what you can do.
But that's really helpful, just asking somebody if they're all right, as you said, and just starting, you know, to have that. So I think that's really brave that you were able to even say that, because some people are even not able to reach out to that extent.
It wasn't difficult. I'm not lying. One of my managers turned up to work in a tutu on roller skates, which was slightly unusual. So yes. The question, "Are you all right?" was fairly innocuous. Oh, really.
And what did he say?
She. No, it wasn't funny. It was a psychotic episode, right. And we had to get people in very quickly to help. But, yeah, you know... giving people that training and that awareness is incredibly important,
And the support.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the support, absolutely, because, you know, we do know that people can very easily get into crisis and obviously it has an impact on the organisation. Mm. So what we do, you don't have to be a professional to engage in this training. As you said, it's about those soft skills and having the confidence to actually reach out. So we work within a framework approach where we use an acronym, the approach, just like you do in physical first aid, because you're more likely to actually come across somebody having a mental or emotional crisis than you are somebody needing physical first aid. Mm, mm. So it's actually that much more important that people are trained in these skills. Mm. And often the work that we do in work with schools and the work we do with in the community sector and with other kinds of professionals that work with children and young people, they particularly need those skills because often they're working with some of the most vulnerable children in our society, like children are not in education, you know, children that are in care, things like this. And recently we've seen a spike in suicide from particular groups like refugee groups and things like this as well. So it's important that we, you know, the crisis, that the worst stage that anybody can get to with their poor mental health is where they start to think of taking their life. And so this is the kind of prevention work that we're doing.
Do you think that mental health issues are becoming more prevalent than they used to be? Do you see more issues now?
I think it's a good question, and given my background is in sort of always been working in some sort of safeguarding element in and with children and families in crisis, it's really interesting that you ask that because in my experience it's always been there.
Hmm.
And what's happened is I don't think that we've talked about it. I don't think that we've had the language to talk about it.
Yep.
And I don't think we've been given people the permission to talk about it.
Yep.
And I think in the past people have been stigmatised and sort of ridiculed because of their poor mental health issues.
Hmm.
And I guess it's that generational. I mean, my mother always used to say, for instance, when I have a personal experience of poor mental health and I engaged in therapy, and the first thing she said is, just, you know, pull your socks up and get on with it.
Yourself
we
together.
Went through
yeah.
the war. We just yeah. had a cup of tea and everything was fine.
And chop your finger off and just carry on. Well, it's that generation. It's tough.
It's one of those funny things, isn't it, that if it's not you that's suffering it, everybody else says, well, I don't see what a problem is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess so they go, pull yourself together, yeah. think about this differently. Well, if you could, you would.
Yeah.
yeah. But it's the whole fact that you can't.
Yeah.
The reason I ask the question is something that drives me nuts, and, you know, not from a mental health point of view, but just from an everyday point of view. And I think it's the frustration of dealing with organisations now that have automated everything
yeah.
to the point of ridiculousness.
Yeah,
yeah, there's no human interaction at all. And some of these systems do ridiculous things mm-hmm. that haven't been thought through from a personal point of view. And you're almost facing a brick wall where you can't go anywhere, you can't turn anywhere, you can't talk to anyone human because you just get bombarded with this computer say no, mm-hmm. computer say no, computer say no. And to the point where you kind of lose the will to carry on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why we do prefer what we offer is face-to-face training mm. because it's skills training.
Yeah.
And that's why we do it that way, so that we can encourage people to have the discussions.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a great place for people to get in touch maybe and process some of their own stuff, because we can't really support anybody else unless we're getting in touch.
Yeah.
And sometimes to notice our own triggers.
Yeah.
So sometimes when people come on the course, it's not just about learning to help others, it's about us, it's about all of our own mental health. Each one of us has mental health
hmm.
and it's just where we are with our mental health at any, you know,
because there's no single point, is there? It's a continuum.
Yeah,
yeah, of you know, feeling okay or
yeah.
even feeling happy to being clinically depressed.
Exactly.
It's just on a continuum.
Yeah.
And it can go up and down and change day by day and change with the weather or all kinds of things.
The weather is a big factor, I think, you know. Mm. Dark evenings, and if mm. somebody's going home and
oh,
and sitting,
you know,
on their own.
You know, there's things like sad and stuff like
yeah.
that, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's that link of the psychological, the environmental
yeah.
and the biological elements that
yeah.
can kind of create that environment where we can suddenly get into, you know, poor mental health. So it's,
mm.
as you said, it's no longer just a bad day.
Mm.
It's become that there's other events and factors. It's not, you know, normally
it's
just one
thing. It's starting
event,
to consume you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
just
I think just getting outside, you know, we're all working in offices
yeah.
and at computers and things. And like Paul said,
yeah.
you know, we're not talking sometimes
yeah.
to people. We're
to
talking
humans,
to
yeah.
yeah.
But,
humans,
you know,
with a brain.
With myself,
yeah.
if I'm spending 4 or 5 hours, 6 hours at my computer, I have to get outside at some stage and just see a bit of green and
yeah.
walk a bit, you know, rather than just sitting there.
Mm.
You see young people motoring, what I call motoring, yeah. with their legs going up and down like
yeah.
that, you know. We're just not built to be sitting
no.
for 6 hours
no.
in front of a screen.
And, and that's the thing, as you said, with this is mentioning young people, and that it is the fact that, you know, often they're bombarded by social media
yeah.
and the 24/7 pressure
mm.
that
yeah.
I don't probably suppose anyone in this room had that. That kind of pressure when we were growing
up.
We used to
go out on our bikes in the evening after school or after work, you know, round the rec.
Yeah.
We used to go physical, very physical.
Yeah. And mm. just discharging all of that energy.
Yeah.
And now, as Paul said, it's that stress, isn't it, that's produced from the frustrations of not being able to communicate effectively, not get the results that we need,
yeah.
Not be able to, as you said, you know, just connect with another human being that can allow people's stress levels in anybody, even children, and just, you know, get to the point where they're in emotional overload and overwhelm.
Yeah.
But then that put together with other types of issues. So it's really about working to reduce, you know, all the stress that we're carrying and looking at what we're actually dealing with one by one, trying to deal with the problems. And it, and as you said, getting out and doing a lot of things that will increase our dopamines and our endorphins and, you know, all of those happy hormones like the oxytocins in the brain.
And how much, Bronwyn, do you look at what people are eating and diet as for mental health?
Yeah, that's also crucial. I mean, you know, we don't want to be prescriptive, not a doctor or anything, but obviously there is...
Don't mention thyroids.
But lots of sugar, you know, things like that can really affect, can't they? Obviously, alcohol can be a downer if you have a drink every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we were talking about earlier on, Jules, when we came in about the caffeine, and what amazes me is that we know that caffeine is a shocker for people living with anxiety.
Yeah.
And we find that some schools and colleges will... you know, serve coffee, and it's really detrimental to people's mental health. And I have been into some organisations where they very cleverly put caffeine free stuff and not even told staff.
Yeah,
excellent.
Just to improve the health and well-being of the environment.
Yeah,
It's incredible, isn't it? Because I'm a trustee of Kenwood Trust, which is a charity that deals with people with drink and drug addictions, and it's amazing the amount of people that suffer these things. But what they're doing is self-medicating.
Exactly.
Yeah, they have mental health issues. You know, a lot of people assume that you've got mental health issues because you're an alcoholic or a drug abuser. But in my experience, it's actually the other way around. People have stresses and strains in their life, and they start to self-medicate by drinking more and more or taking drugs. And eventually that consumes their life and doubles up on the problem.
And that's a really crucial point that you've brought up, because you can get that into that element where people have got the dual diagnosis, and then they're very difficult to get into services because one service will say, well, they're not ours,
and then
the other service will. And I think what's crucial about that is that we know with men's mental health that, you know, men are more at risk of taking their life by suicide, in fact, three times more likely than females, and often are found with drugs and alcohol. I think 80% of suicides is drugs and alcohol are found in the system.
First. Because Dutch courage, say Dutch, but to actually take your own life and be in that state would be terribly hard. I mean, we're thinking about Caroline Flack recently.
Well, this is another factor of modern life, isn't it, is that social media has done a lot of things to get people to be able to communicate, but it's also produced these incredibly stupid trolling thing. I mean, last week was amazing. Did you see the Yorkshire Tea fiasco? I mean,
oh gosh, yeah.
I mean, unbelievable nonsense of a bunch of people trying to crucify someone for drinking a cup of tea. And I have to say, I've got tremendous respect for whoever the person was that was doing the Yorkshire Tea
social media
because she was brilliant. Yeah. And eventually she put a stop to the whole thing by just saying, Sue, you're arguing with a tea bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody used it as a hashtag, and the whole thing kind of died away. But that kind of pressure is ridiculous. Yeah.
Pressure on young people to look a certain way.
Putting young people under pressure because they use the wrong word to describe something is unbelievably facile. Mm. And we've got to be more careful about this. Yeah. Cool. So as an organisation, you started roughly 2012.
Yeah.
So you're kind of 8 years old now. Yeah.
May I ask how you fund it?
So for our sort of like health and wellbeing projects, we sort of go get our own funding, or we go into organisations and people will pay us or commission us to do pieces of work.
So HR departments, would you be working with them?
So HR departments, local authorities, private business, all sorts of different organisations, really.
Do you make charges for the training courses that you do?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
so in the past, we've been successful in getting funding to be able to do this, but at the moment, we don't actually have any...
It's getting harder and harder, isn't it?
It's getting harder, yeah. It's definitely getting harder.
And mental health issues are probably increasing.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And it's definitely a challenge. Yeah, so what we're actually going to do moving forward is we're going to put on, because obviously, you know, well, my focus at the moment is really on the marsh.
Yeah.
So I've been working with people such as Terry and other people, and we're thinking, you know, I'm going to be putting on sort of like courses and just inviting local business to come along and send people along,
yeah,
so we can train up as many mental health first aiders as we can.
But the marsh is an interesting area, isn't it? Because sat there in one of the most affluent parts of the world, the southeast of England, but it has one of the highest unemployment rates. There's no public transport.
I was going to say, if you're young and you don't have a car.
Yeah,
It's fairly desolate out there, especially during the winter.
Beautiful, but bleak.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous place. It's a lovely place, but it has its issues. And one of the things I know, Terry's very involved in this as well, is there's a lot of older people that live out in the marsh that are becalmed.
Yes.
To use a pun, because they don't have any contact with anyone else because they live in very rural areas where they can't get around. There's no public transport.
I've done a lot of work with Riverford Organic, which deliver throughout the UK, and the marsh is one of their highest delivery points because of the isolation of shops and getting to shops.
Exactly, and those are the kind of things I want to focus on, because there's a lot of sole traders and businesses that often don't come into contact with it unless they come out to networking events and things like that, and are not really interacting with other kinds of organisations, and so they don't get the opportunities to get involved in training. But one of the other concerns is agriculture.
Oh, yeah.
And the farming industry, because they have access to lethal means to take their lives. So there's a lot. And then it's the
very high suicide rate with farmers.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the effect, because 15 people are emotionally damaged by one person's suicide, and at least 136 are, you know, emotionally harmed.
Right.
So, and those are the kind of things. It's not just the individual, it's the impact.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just, you know, those reaching around. Out. Yeah, exactly.
It's hot, isn't it? I was having a debate with a politician, a local politician, who was annoying me a little bit. The government announced that they were going to cure homelessness by spending a couple of quid or something. And yeah, exactly. And this politician was doing a typical, you know, I mean, just stop. Yeah. These virtue signaling announcements are pointless. Yeah. You're not going to do anything with this. The money you've announced is going to solve nothing. Yeah, it's a tiny fraction of money that will solve what is a huge problem. And the issue is, as far as I'm concerned, is that, and I think you alluded to it a little bit in the funding or lack of it, is that they allocate funding for things.
Yeah.
But a lot of this is holistic.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
One thing leads to another, leads to another.
A crossover.
Yeah, yeah. If you only fund one bit, you're not funding the other. You know, we've got to find a vastly different way of handling these things. My personal opinion is that they ought to be handled from the bottom up. Yeah. So an organisation like Bronwyn's on the marsh should get funding to handle a raft of issues that affect people on the marsh.
Yeah.
Not, you know, do you have this issue? Mm. Do you have that issue? It's what issues affect the community on the marsh.
Yeah.
And let's fund getting that sorted out.
Mm.
Because that's, in my opinion, that's the only way you could sort these problems out. If you keep kind of chunk it off in bits.
Yeah.
Then loads of people
nothing
fall through
joins
the cracks
up.
And nothing joins up, and you know, you pass people from one thing to another. It's just nonsense.
And Bronwyn, you mentioned refugees as well. I wouldn't have thought of Romney Marsh as having that. So
no, that's
different areas.
Yeah, different. That's sort of different areas, because the kind of the suicide first aid that I do is kind of a different delivery than the mental health first aid. So the suicide first aid is very, very new in terms of it's the only UK-based course, and it carries a qualification of City and Guilds with it if people want that alongside it. So that's kind of more to do with the stuff that I've been doing in London. But having said that, you know, it's at Dover. People come in, don't they?
Of course,
and we have, you know, so we will. We do have that kind of issues, but I think that we're just not aware of them.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good point you mentioned about the about that sort of holistic approach, because part of the other thing that I do is not just all the serious stuff, which is obviously super important, but also we offer like laughter yoga.
Right, okay. I'll tell you what, I'd laugh if I was doing downward dog as well. Because I'd never get up again.
And I could come around and tickle people.
Oh, yeah. You could do yoga bit because you're a yoga leader.
I teach meditation and breathing and that, so I could certainly come and help you
on that.
That
would be great. So those are the kind of things that we want to offer people, a full and total package, so that we're not just looking at prevention, but we're also looking at like fun ways that we can you know, show people how we can actually improve. So we do a lot of self-help stuff around trauma recovery workshops. So as you said, the two go in tandem. We can't really deal with recognising signs and symptoms if we're not going to look at what the antidote is.
And of course, refugees would be completely cut off from any family, most probably. Then the language as well, plus just general housing and everything.
Exactly. And I know that yes, and there's a lot of unaccompanied minors that will be arriving in this particular area. It's increasing.
Bronwyn, it's very important stuff that you're doing. It's a fascinating story that you've got. There's lots more you could tell us, I'm sure, but we're kind of running out of time. We have to join the newsroom shortly. If people want to find out more about This Way Up Wellbeing and the work you're doing, what's the best way to do that?
I was going to give out my phone number, but I've got told off for that once before. So,
I've just put it on the video.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. That's actually the best way
on your
to
business
contact
card.
Me.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly. So, yes, you could. I've got a lot of hyphens in it, so be prepared.
You have. Do you love a hyphen? I was just looking at this.
All the other great website things had gone, so my colleague put this one together. But the best way to get hold of us is if you go to info@this-way-up-well-being.co.uk.
Fantastic. We will put a link to that email address on the website. You've got Facebook pages and websites as well. All those links are on the Kent Business Radio website on bizradio.co.uk. If you want to find out what they are, if you didn't get to write that down, they're all there, so you can just do that. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom now. For the moment, Bronwyn, thank you so much. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But Bronwyn Rich of This Way Up Wellbeing, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Here we go, the newsroom.
On the hour, Channel